Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Pesachim is Yud Ches. We're on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're starting with the words Yibayilahu. That's six lines from the bottom of the Amud on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. And Tumah Tahara. Okay, so we are more than halfway through the world of Tumah Tahara over here in the end of the first parak of Pesachim. From the Mishnah Yidal all the way to the next parak, which starts in Chaf Aleph. So we are discussing Tumah Tahara based on the Mishnah. So let's connect everything. It'll take a couple of minutes, maybe more than a couple of minutes, but let's put everything together. Let's connect all the information. Let's try to organize. So that way we will feel like we have a handle on the entire sugya. Okay, we are discussing Tumas Mashkin. We have been discussing Tumas Mashkin yesterday and the day before, and we're going to continue to do so today. Tumas Mashkin, as we already pointed out, when it comes to the ability to receive Tumah. So we have four different categories. We have Adam, Kalim, Ochlim, Mashkin. Adam is a person, Kalim are anything which is a functional kli, a utensil. Ochlim foods, and Mashkin are liquids. Liquids become a big topic in our discussion here in the Gemara. First of all, because of its controversy. There's a major controversy that surrounds whether or not Mashkin are eligible to receive Tumah, and then subsequently, are they going to be able to transmit Tumah? So that takes us to the Braisa on Tezayin Amud Aleph, which we did already now 2 days ago. The Braisa on the top of Tezayin Amud Aleph brought down four different opinions on this matter. Okay, we could really reduce it down to three opinions, but there is a Braisa on Tezayin Amud Aleph that discusses the issue of Tumas Mashkin, which was yesterday's topic, the day before, and it's going to be today's topic as well, mostly. The Gemara is going to transition a little bit. How do we get here? How do we get onto the topic of Tumas Mashkin? So it really comes from a comment of Rabbi Yirmiyah that finds itself back on Tezvav Amud Beis. Now, Rabbi Yirmiyah takes us all the way back to the Mishnah. So here now, let's just quickly recap from the Mishnah. The Mishnah brought down a halacha of Rabbi Chanina's Gan HaKohanim that says that during the days of the Kohanim, so what they would do is they would burn basar, which becomes tamei, obviously basar kachim, basar that becomes tamei, and they would burn together the various tamei basars, regardless of what level of tumah they were on. So you have a basar that becomes tamei through an avatama, and it's burned together with a basar that's tamei with a vlada tumah, and there was no discrimination in terms of separating the various basars because they were all tamei anyway. And despite the fact that, yes, you're going to have now a shlishi being burnt with a rishon, and then, yes, it's true, the shlishi is now going to be upgraded to becoming a sheni. But nevertheless, since it's already tamei, and since we're going to burn it anyway, so therefore it's totally fine. So there in the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir says, so you see from there that what you could do is the following. On Erev Pesach, when there's a mitzvah to burn the chametz, on Erev Pesach, during the 6th hour, so what you could do is you could take truma tahara, obviously the truma's chametz, And you could burn it together with Truma Temeah. When you make that big pile of Truma Tahara and Truma Temeah, so the Truma Temeah is going to be burning the Truma Tahara. Sorry. Let's say it better. Let's say it clearer. So the Truma Temeah is going to be being mitame the Truma Tahara. So Rabbi Meir says, okay, that's true, but you got to burn it anyway. It's Erev Pesach, and it's an Issa Durabanan to burn it any. The Chametz is Asma Durabanan during the 6th hour. So therefore, you could take it, put it together in one pile and burn it together. And Rameir says that we deduce it from Rabbi Chanina's Gan HaKohanim. Now, what the statement I just made is a bit controversial, and that was the Gemara in Daf Tezvav. The Gemara in Tezvav says, where did Rabbi Meir generate his halacha from? So, some of the opinion, Rav Yochanan, for example, says that he got it from Rabbi Chanina's Gan HaKohanim. There are others, however, Reish Lakish, Bar Kapara, Rav Nachman, there are others who say that Rabbi Meir generated his position based on a totally different shita of Rabbi Yoshua, based on a Mishnah in Trumos. Okay, but anyway, let's right now say that Rabbi Meir got it from Rabbi Chanina's Gan HaKohanim. Good, that was Rabbi Yochanan's shita. Now, on that, Rabbi Yirmiyah said the following. Rabbi Yirmiyah says that I'm also of the belief that Rabbi Meir got his shita from Rabbi Chanina's Gan HaKohanim, but in terms of now the basar that becomes tamei with an avatama, together with basar that gets tamei with a vladatama, the fact that they're going to burn together. So he says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give voice to exactly what the case was. And now I'm going to explain exactly how the machlokus works between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Because Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi disagree on this very issue in terms of whether or not you could burn Truma Temeah with Truma Tahara during the 6th hour in Erev Pesach. He says, here's what happened. What happened was is that you start off with a sheretz. Sheretz comes into contact with mashkin, comes into contact with liquid. And now the liquid in turn comes into contact with the Basar Kodesh. And now the Basar Kodesh is tameh. That's for sure. What level, what degree of tumah? Is it a tumah d'oraisa or tumah d'rabbanan? So Rav Meir says it's a tumah d'rabbanan. Why? Because this is Rav Meir l'shita so. And now finally we're on the Mishnah the Brice on the top of Tzayin Amud Aleph. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that Mashkin can receive tumah, but min ha-Torah Mashkin cannot transmit tumah. So Rav Meir says as a result of that, so the meat that comes into contact with the mashka that in turn came into contact with the sheretz, so that is only tumah midarabana, not tumah midaraisa. Now Rav Meir says, so what do you see over here? That I'm taking something which is tumah midaraisa, burning it together with something which is tumah midarabana, which means that min ha-Torah it's tahor lagamre. So Rav Meir says, good. So now in Erev Pesach, you take your Truma Tameh, your Truma Tahora, you can burn them together. Because anyway, the Truma Tahora is Aser Midrabanan. And as we already pointed out numerous times, Rav Meir does not see a difference between something being Tameh Midrabanan and something being Aser Midrabanan. That's all Shitas Rav Meir. Then you have Shitas Rabbi Yossi, who in this very case, we'll start with the case of Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim, where you have Tameh meats being burned together, one comes into contact with an avatama, and the other meat comes into contact with a vlad. But again, in the case that we just outlined, where you start with the sheretz comes into contact with mashkin comes into contact with basar, Rav Yossi here is lishita so. Rav Yossi says that min ha-Torah, what just happened? So what just happened is that the liquid is, in fact, matama the basar, min ha-Torah. So that means, what do you have over here? You have something which is tamid d'oraisa and something which is tamid d'oraisa. So yes, it's true that the shlishi now is going to go up to becoming a sheni when the shlishi is being burned with a rishon, but everything is tamim min ha-Torah. So that's why you can burn the two together. But in our case over here, of chametz and erev Pesach during the sixth hour, where the truma tahora and truma tameya, the truma tahora is tahora, so you cannot burn it together with truma tameya. Good. So that is how we got onto the topic of tumas mashkin. So now once we get onto the topic of tumas mashkin, so we connected it all the way back to our Mishnah and Yodalid. So now let's do one more step for today. I said a couple minutes of review. Okay, it's more than a couple minutes. Let's now take a look at the top of Tzayin Amud Aleph. We're on the top of Tzayin Amud Aleph, so there's a braisa regarding all the various shitas of Tumas Mashkin. And let's just simply review the various shitas. Number one, you have the shita of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that I'll just say out the shitas. I won't go through the braisa inside. Rabbi Meir says that Mashkin can receive Tumah min ha-Torah. So if the Mashkin comes into contact with any kind of Avatumah, or even if that matter, if it comes into contact with a Vlada Tumah. But Mashkin can receive Tumah min ha-Torah. In terms of its ability to transmit min ha-Torah, it cannot transmit Tumah min ha-Torah. That is Shitas Rabbi Meir. Now Rabbi Elazar agrees. Now Rabbi Elazar agreeing with Rabbi Meir was a bit of a controversy. The Gemara in Tzayin already dealt with that, because we seem to have other indicators where Rav Elazar is of the opinion that Mashkin do not become Tamei at all. Okay, so that becomes a bit of an issue, but anyway, that was that Shita's Rabbi Meir. Then the Brisa brought the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what, Mashkin's Matamei? Everything. Now everything would mean Ochlim Mashkin and even Kalim. Now even Kalim, so that's an amazing comment by Rabbi Yehuda. That's an amazing shita, Rabbi Yehuda, that mashkin and matame kalim. Because generally speaking, what do we think? We think that in terms of what's matame adam, what's matame kalim, that's only an avatuma, right? This is one of the basics when it comes to the transmissions of tuma, that only an avatuma is matame adam or kalim. But a vladatuma is not matame kalim. So the idea that you can have a mashka being matame kalim, so that's a very difficult shita. But meanwhile, that's Rabbi Yehuda shita, as presented in the Braisa. Where we ended off with yesterday is that Rabbi Yehuda was chozer. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda threw out that position in the Braisa, but then he recanted from that position, and Rabbi Yehuda eventually acknowledged that Mashkin are not Metamei Kelim. So we have right now, we're in the middle of Rabbi Yehuda's discussion regarding the retraction of Rabbi Yehuda that Mashkin are not Metamei Kelim, even though in the Braisa, in Tzayin Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda says that that Mashkin are Metamei Kelim. And then, as long as we're in the Braisa, let's just quickly say it over, because we're going to come back to it later this morning. And that's the Shitas of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say that Mashkin are Matame Ochlin, but mashkin are not metame kelim. Okay, that's the shitas of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. And later this morning, we're going to come back to the shita of Rabbi Yossi and gain a better understanding of the shita of Rabbi Yossi. So, hopefully, that was 10 good minutes of reviewing, really all the way back to the Mishnah on Yudalit. We are now on Yudzayin Amud Beis, and we are now going to be continuing our discussion regarding the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that Mashkin was Matame even Kalim. That was Rabbi Yehuda on the Braisa. And the Gemara, which we already went through yesterday, says that Rabbi Yehuda retracted. We quoted another Braisa where it's clear that Rabbi Yehuda has a retraction that Mashkin are not Matame Kalim. So right now, here's what we know for sure, and that is Rabbi Yehuda retracted from his position. Now the Gemara wants to know Ibailahu, picking it up where we left off yesterday. Question over here is really simple. Rabbi Yehuda retracted from his position. How much did Rabbi Yehuda retract from his position? Is it that Rabbi Yehuda just simply retracted partially from his position? Where now, he says that Mashkin are not Matame Kalim, but they are Matame Ochlin, meaning that basically you could take Rabbi Yehuda now and put him together with the Shita of Rabbi Yossi and with the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. That's one possibility. Or maybe no, once Rabbi Yehuda has a retraction and says that Mashkin are not Matame Kalim, maybe what he's saying is that Mashkin are not Matame, period. They will receive Tuma, but they will not transmit Tuma. And now, where does that take Rabbi Yehuda? It takes Rabbi Yehuda and aligns him with the Shita of Rabbi Meir. So good. So that's the question on the table. Rabbi Yehuda's retraction, how far of a retraction did he make? I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak Tashmas. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, I think I know based on a Mishnah in Parah. Mishnayos in Parah, which again in the Daf Yomi, we do not do because it's a Masechta in Seder Taharos. But every now and then in Shas, we get to learn a Mishnah in Parah. Here's an example where we get to learn together a Mishnah in Parah, all the way in the ninth parak of the Masechta. The Mishnah over here describes the following Parah, Sheshasasa Mechatas. So you have a cow that's drinking Mechatas. There is a lot going on over here, just in terms of basic background information. Let's quickly go over. When you have a cow drinking from the Mechatas, first of all, the Mechatas, so that's the solution where we took a burnt paraduma and we mixed it with the mayim chayim, and so now we have the solution where somebody's the tamei meis. So we're going to be sprinkling the solution on the tamei meis on the third and seventh day, and that person now is going to be tahor from his tumas meis. Good, that we all know. Over here in the Mishnah, so the mechatas, which we actually went through great measures in order to make sure that that is going to be in a state of tahara. Now, but we also happen to know that when the mechatas, once you have a prepared solution, so it is mitahir tameim, but it's also mitame taharim, meaning that mechatas is now going to be an avatuma. Okay, the pasuk says Rashi here in the very bottom quotes it. Hanogeh b'me'anida, that if you touch the mechatas, so that person who touches it, who's tahor, is going to be tameh. But it's not circular, meaning you become tameh from the mechatas. You don't need the mechatas to become tahor, because then the whole thing becomes circular, and then obviously that's no good. In other words, if you're tameh from the mechatas, you just simply tovel in the mikvah together with Harav Shemesh, and you're tahor. But anyway, the mechatas is in fact an avatama, even though it has the ability to be metahir to mayim. Good, that's the irony we're all familiar. So here in this particular case in the Mishnah, so you have a parah, not to be confused by the way, the parah mentioned over here in this Mishnah is not talking about a parah duma, it's just talking about a regular cow. And he's drinking the mechatas, and now, so you have, running through the GI tract of this cow, you have mechatas. And now what happens is that you shechted this cow. So now what becomes of the status of this cow? So bisara tamei. So according to the Tanakhama of this Mishnah and Para, so its basar becomes tamei. Meaning obviously while the cow's alive, so the cow is not susceptible to tuma. Right? The cow's ability, when the cow dies, the flesh of the cow, if it's shechted properly, so the cow's not a nevela. So then its carcass is not a carcass, it's not an avela, and so therefore it's just simply, it's meat, it's ochlin. And ochlin now can become tameh, susceptible to tumah. So according to the Tanakhama, so the basar becomes tameh, And so as a result of that, fine. So the meat's tameh. Okay. You and I, meaning non-Kohanim and non-Beis HaMikdash circumstance, we can eat the basar of the cow. But anyway, the reason why we're quoting this Mishnah over here in Parah is for the next line of this Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, as we now turn to the top of Yerches Amar Aleph, Batlu B'me'eha. The solution, the mechatas that was drunk by the cow, so it becomes batl b'me'eha. It becomes nullified as it's running through the GI tract. Now the Gemara says, let's consider, because this is Shitas Rav Yehuda. And we know that Rav Yehuda retracted from his position regarding Mashkin. So the Gemara says, now Isak adach mikelim hude hadar be'avaba ochlim ke Rav Yosi v'Rabbi Shimon Svirlei. So the Gemara says, let's consider the following. That look, I know that Rav Yehuda retracted from his position that Mashkin are not metame kelim. That we know for sure. But maybe if you want to suggest that Rav Yehuda subscribes to the viewpoint of Rav Yosi and Rabbi Shimon, so I'm my batlu me'eha legamrei. Here's what I'm curious to know. I don't understand. And that the mechatas, while running through the GI tract of this cow that's now shechted, so why does it become batlu legamrei? Why does it become totally nullified? So nihida tuma chamur lo metame tuma kala mia nitmu. So look, tuma chamura, so it's not subject to tuma chamura, meaning it's no longer nava tuma. So that part I understand. But in the very least, it should be tuma kala, and it should be susceptible to tuma kala. How is it going to be subject to tuma kala? Because as it loses its status of being the mechatas, so what is it now reduced to? Meaning it doesn't physically change, but what is it now reduced to? So now as it's no longer mechatas, you know what it is now? It's simply water. Meaning it's just simply a liquid. It's mashkin. So why don't we say the following? That as it loses its status now of the mechata, so it's going to, the tuma chamura, the ava tuma aspect of it is going to depart. And as it departs, so what does it do? It makes one last contact. What does it make it with the last contact with? Itself. It touches itself. Now this is an idea that we have expressed already numerous times. This idea that when the tuma chamura departs, so it makes contact with itself. Now, making contact with itself, so basically, as it transitions from being an avatuma to just simply a regular mashkin, so it should now have made contact with itself, so that in the very least now, it should be tameh as a simple mashke. That's the Gemara's question, whereas, so that according to Rabbi Yehuda now, so it is now subject to tumas mashke. So Rabbi Yehuda says it's batlu b'me'eha. Seemingly, what he says is that it's not even subject to tumas mashke. So the Gemara now is wondering that we know that Rabbi Yehuda has a retraction. We know that Rabbi Yehuda says that mashkin are not metame kalim. We wanted to know, is he still on board with Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon that mashkin are at least metame tumas ochlin? And here in this Mishnah in Parah, what it sounds like is, no, it's not even metame tumas mashkin. Meaning even just as a simple beverage, it's not even going to subject to tuma. That's what the Gemara is thinking at this point in time. So the Gemara says, okay, my batlu b'me'aha, nami batlu mituma chamura, aval tuma kala mitamo. So the Gemara says, okay, so let me share with you a way to read this Mishnah. The way we could read the Mishnah is that when the Mishnah says, according to Rav Yehuda, batlu me'me'aha, what the Mishnah actually is referring to is that the liquid while inside of the animal, while running through the GI tract of the animal, is no longer subject to tuma chamura, meaning it no longer has the status of being mechatas, but nevertheless, it's still going to be now subject to a simple mashke, which is that it will be tame as a tuma kala, as a derivative tuma, not as a tuma chamura. So the Gemara says, okay, but remember the Mishnah, there were two positions in the Mishnah. There was the Tanakam and there was Rabbi Yehuda. So if you're telling me that that's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, so what's the contrast? What's the Tanakama's viewpoint? So Michlad the Tanakama suffered tuma chamura nami mitamu. So you're telling me that according to the Tanakama who says that it is tame, you're telling me that he's saying that it's mitame. So it's tame as a tuma chamura. It's still an ava tuma. So the Gemara says it doesn't read well in the sheet of the Tanakama. Go back to the Mishnah, reread the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to do so right now. Ha bisara tame ketane. So if you look carefully at the wording of the Tanakama, it says, what becomes tame? Bisara, the meat of the animal becomes tame. which makes it sound like that the liquid itself is no longer an avatama. It just simply now is going to be metame, the meat of the animal, but the liquid itself is no longer a tumah chamura. So now there's no contrast between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda and Tanakam now are saying the same thing, but that can't be. Because the way the Mishnah presents itself, it sounds like there's a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, okay, let's clean everything up. So kula Rav Yehuda v'chasura mechzor v'achi katani. So the way to read the Mishnah now in Parah is that the Mishnah in Parah is really giving us one thought, one continuous thread, and that's the following. Parah shashas mechatas. So I have the Parah that drinks the mechatas. Okay? And now the mechatas is running through the GI tract of the cow, and then you shechted said cow. So now bisara tame. So the basar of that cow becomes tame. Bamed varma morim tumakala. So that's in terms of it becoming that's only as it becoming a tumakala, a derivative tuma. Aval tuma chamura lo, but not tuma chamura, meaning that the mechatas itself is going to be losing its status as being a mechatas. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Batlu Bemeha, because that's what Rabbi Yehuda means when it says Batlu Bemeha. Batlu Bemeha means that it no longer serves as an avatama. It no longer functions as a mechatas, and therefore it's no longer an avatama. But nevertheless, as the avatama leaves, so what does it do? So it leaves it off with it touching itself. So the mashkin now become have come into contact with the av. So what does that make the mashkin? The mashkin now becomes a rishon. And now that mashka that touches the meat of the animal after it shechted, obviously it's still swimming in the GI tract of the animal, so it comes into contact with the meat of the animal after now it lost the status of being an avatama. It now is a derivative. As a derivative, it came into contact with an av, meaning itself. So as a derivative, it's a rishon. It touching the meat now is a sheni. Okay. And what we've accomplished now is that we've set pshat over in this Mishnah, where now the entire Mishnah is going like Shitas Rav Yehuda. And in terms of clarification, where does Rav Yehuda stand? We know he retracted his position that Tumas Mashkin is not Metame Kalim. How about being Metame Ochlin? So we're still maintaining the idea that Rav Yehuda holds that Tumas Mashkin is Metame Ochlin. The Mishnah and Parah. Good, we just said a pshat over in the Mishnah and Parah. That is all but one approach in terms of how to deal with the Mishnah in Parah. Just one more approach in terms of how to address the Mishnah. Par Ravashi. Ravashi Amar, La'olam batlu b'meah legamrei mishum da'avalei mashkin seruach. And Ravashi says, and perhaps this is intuitively, I was certainly thinking along this line, and Ravashi gives voice to the idea that, look, as you can imagine now, the mechatas that was just ingested by the cow, who would be right now interested in drinking that mechatas? Meaning, aside from the fact that at one point in time it was mechatas that was used to be metara people from Tumas Meis. But just, you could say this about any liquid that's ingested by a cow. And now you shech the cow and you find the liquid in there. And at that point in time, it's pretty gross. The liquid now that is running through the GI tract of the animal and has all the, it's mixed together with the digestive juices of the animal. So at that point in time, it's pretty disgusting. So Rav Ashi says, do you know that Shita Rabbi Yehuda that says batlu b'me'eha, it becomes batal, meaning it's no longer even a mashke, meaning just as a simple beverage, it loses its status altogether. Rashi writes, de'afilu she mashke ba'amalek alayhu, doesn't have any status of being a beverage altogether. De'afilu mashke saruach, at that point in time, it's something which is totally repulsive. Then when you have a beverage that becomes repulsive and it's just simply undrinkable, so it loses the status of being a mashke. So the reason why this particular mashke is no longer susceptible to any type of tumah is just simply because it's no longer a beverage. Which now means that according to Rav Ashi, seemingly, I mean Rashi doesn't say this, but seemingly according to Rav Ashi, you don't have to do what we did earlier. In other words, we cleaned up the Mishnah, where the Mishnah has the Mishnah has two positions, and previously we said, well, really it's not two positions, but it's one position. According to Rav Ashi now, when you go back to the Mishnah in Parah, it really could now be two positions. Meaning it could be the Tanakama that says Parsha Shasa Mechatas Bisaratame, because according to the Tanakama, it doesn't lose its status of a mashka. How exactly that works, meaning it does seem now that Rav Ashi's understanding that it becomes disgusting What would the Tanakhama say about that? I'm not sure, but that would be the Shita Tanakhama. And then along comes Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not disgusting. It is disgusting. It's so disgusting, it doesn't even have the status of a mashke, just simply because it's perfectly undrinkable. Okay. Anyway, that brings us to the end of the discussion regarding Rabbi Yehuda. And so now, part one of today's daf is officially in the books, in that the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that says that in the Brice on Tet Zayin Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda says that mashken or matame, even kalim, right? The language of Rabbi Yehuda back in the Brice, Rabbi Yehuda Amar, lachol tame. It's matame everything, right? Mashken or matame everything. And now what we learned in yesterday's daf on Yezayin Amud Beis is that Rabbi Yehuda had a retraction. Rabbi Yehuda says that mashken or not matame kalim. The question right now on the table is that when Rabbi Yehuda has a retraction, does he have a retraction even on mashken mi matame ochlin? And the Gemara's answer is no, he doesn't have a retraction of mashken mi matame ochlin, meaning you could put Rabbi Yehuda together with the shita of Rabbi Yossi and together with the shita of Rabbi Shimon, in that mashken are in fact going to be matame ochlin, the Mishnah in Parah. We just addressed the Mishnah in Parah. Okay. We're continuing. We're in Yud Ches Amud Aleph. We're about a third of the way down. The Gemara doesn't have two dots over here, but you might as well just put in two dots over here, as we're now going to go and go back to the Braisa on Tet Zayin Amud Aleph and discuss the Shita of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say that Mashkin are Metame Ochlin, and presumably they're operating on a Doraisa level. Gemara's question over here is going to be really simple. Where did they get that from? So let's start off the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Amrim la'ochlim, tamem la'kelim tahorim. Amar, Rabba, Bar Bachan, Amar, Ishakish, Rabbi Yossi, B'shitas, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbo, Amru. Didarish yitma, yitameh. So Rabba, Bar Bachan explains, B'shem, Ishakish, that as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, so he's going to do a maneuver that he learned from his Rebbe. His Rebbe was Rabbi Akiva. Rashi over here reminds us the Gemara in Yevamos. Gemara in Yevamos describes Rabbi Akiva having thousands upon thousands of students. 24,000 students in total, as we all know. And Rachmanis, they all died. And what happens to the Gemara in Yevamos is that Rabbi Akiva started anew, right? The Gemara famously says over there that you teach students when you're young, good. You should teach students when you're old, right? And the Gemara also mentions that when you have kids when you're young, you should also have kids when you're old as well. Okay, you don't know how anyone's going to turn out. So operate with the assumption that you'll have a batting average of, I don't want to give out a number, but in other words, okay, good advice of Rabbi Akiva in the Gemara Yevamos. Anyway, so when he started anew, so instead of having 24,000 students, so he whittled the number down a little bit. He went from 24,000 students to 5 students. Okay, and he went with a little bit of quality over quantity. Who were those 5 students? So Rashi right here in our daf reminds us. So they are Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Lazar ben Shamoa. So we have here Rabbi Yossi being a student of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Yossi learned something from the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. In tomorrow's daf, we're going to actually discuss whether or not Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Akiva agree with each other, but right now that's not the point. The point is that Rabbi Akiva had a maneuver, and Rabbi Yossi learned the maneuver from his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. What was the maneuver of Rabbi Akiva? Did none. So we're going to learn a Mishnah together. And that is Baba Yom Darsh Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva Darshan on that day. So you know what that day is making reference to. So it was the day that Rabbi Gamliel was deposed from the Beis Medrash as being the Rosh Hashiva, as being the Nasi. Right, Rabbi Gamliel, I don't want to say too bluntly, but right now I can't think of another way to say it. So he abused Rabbi Yehoshua and anyway, on more than one occasion, so Rabbi Gamliel got deposed, and Rav Elazar ben Azariah was elected to become the next Nasi. And on that day, so they introduced all the people into the Beis Medrash, and many things were discussed on that very day. Meanwhile, so Baba Yom Darsh Rabbi Kiva Darshan is the following on that day. V'chol Kli Cheres Asher Yipol Mehem. So you have a Kli Cheres where you have a food that goes into the Kli Cheres. Eino Omer Tamei Ela Yitma. Now, in terms of the food being in that Kli Cheres, meaning what happens in that Kli Cheres is that you have a Sheretz, and the Sheretz now makes the Kli Cheres a Rishon, right? The Sheretz obviously being an Avatama, and it doesn't have to make contact with the interior of the Kli Cheres, it just simply has to go into the airspace of the Kli Cheres. Rashi here goes through all this information. I'm saying it outside. I'm saying it briefly. And then what happens then is that you have a food in the Kli Cheres. So if the kli cheres now is a rishon, so the food over there becomes tame. But the word that the Torah uses to express the tumah as it relates to a food is yitma. And Rabbi Akiva says, yitamei acherim. That the word yitma does not just simply means that it receives tumah, but it also has the ability to transmit tumah. Limit al kikar sheni she'osir shlisha b'chulin. Rabbi Kiva's position is that now, by virtue of the fact that the Torah says that that food becomes tameh, but not tameh, but rather yitma, not only is that food going to receive tumah, but that food is also going to transmit tumah. Okay, Rashi spends a good amount of time over here on this section, going through that there was not a direct transmission of tumah from the sheretz to the food, but rather the transmission was from the sheretz to the kli cheres, from the kli cheres to the food, so the food now is a sheni, and now the food can in turn be metame something else, so that now becomes a shlishi. According to Shitas Rabbi Kiva, we don't pass them like this, but according to Shitas Rabbi Kiva, a sheni is metame a shlishi even by chulin. Okay. V'hacha echidarish. Good. That's the maneuver of Rabbi Akiva. So now Rabbi Yossi says, I'm going to borrow that move. And now apply it over here when it comes to Tumas Mashkin. What do we know regarding Tumas Mashkin? So here we are now. V'chol mashke asher yishaseh. V'chol kli yitma. So when I have mashke that a person drinks and it's found in the kli, so yitma becomes tame. Yitma l'tame Tumas ochlin. So now what that means is as follows. Not only is that mashke going to be able to receive tuma, but more than that, it's able to transmit tuma as well. Now, transmit tuma to what? To food. Atomer latami tumas ochlein, latami tumas mashkin. Now, wait a second. Being mitame food, how about this? How about the mashke being mitame other mashkin? So, amar lo kachaya. So, he says to that, no, lo kachaya. No, mashkin are not going to be mitame mashkin. So, my lo kachaya. So, that's a funny answer to the question. Meaning, nope, not going to be metame mashkin. What does that mean? A little more explanation, please. So, Amar Rapapa lo matzila tuma she'osik hayotzei bo. So, Rapapa says, here's the basic rule that there an assumption they're operating with, which is that tuma eino osik hayotzei bo. That tuma cannot be metame something of its same category. A mashka cannot be metame mashka. An ochel cannot be metame an ochel. Now again, this doesn't necessarily explain every Tana's viewpoint, but now we're operating within the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. So within the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, so what the Gemara is suggesting now, what Rav Papa is suggesting is that a food is not metame food, and ochel is not metame ochel, but rather a mashke is metame ochel, and an ochel is metame mashke. That's Rav Papa's understanding. Ravina Amar Migufa Dekra Nami Lomatzis Armet. Ravina says, look, we can go right back to the pasuk. See it inside the pasuk, because in the pasuk it says yitma latami tumas mashkin. It says yitma latami tumas mashkin. That it's going to be subject to tumas mashkin. So the isaka dascha, meaning I'm sorry, the pasuk that Ravina is referring to is the tuma as it relates to ochlin. That ochlin's metame mashkin. The isaka dacha yitma desefa latami tumas mashkin yitma deresha nami latami tumas mashkin. Because consider, food is metame mashkin. And now what do you want to tell me? That mashkin are also metame mashkin. So then when the Torah introduces us to tumas ochlin, and the Torah introduces us to tumas mashkin, so here's what the Torah should have done. Ne arvinu v'nichtavinu. Why not have the pasuk bundle everything together? And here's what the pasuk should have said: Mikola ochel asher yachel asher yavolav mayim. So you have a food that first became mochter lekabel tuma. That's asher yavolav mayim, and then after being mochter lekabel tuma becomes tamei. And v'chol mashker yishaseh v'chol kli. And then on top of that, I also have a mashke. Now mashke does not need hechsher. A point that we've already made, a point that we're going to be making in just a couple of minutes from now. Mashke does not require hechsher. So if I have food, or if I have mashke, and it finds itself in a kli cheres, which becomes tameh, so yitma, so it becomes tameh. So it becomes tameh, period. And then, if the Torah would have bundled it together, then I would have said, hey, you know what ochel is metameh? Mashke. You know what mashke is metameh? Mashke. But the Torah doesn't do that. Trei yitma lamali. Rather, what the Torah says is that it says yitma regarding the ochel. It says yitma regarding mashke. Trei yitma lamali, ela yitma deresha, letame tumas mashke, and yitma desefa, letame tumas ochlin. What it means to say is that they're very specific in terms of what they're metame. Ochel is metame mashke. Mashke is metame ochal. That is clear in the Torah, says Ravina, based on the fact that the Torah says the word yitma on two occasions. Ve'ema, the Gemara says, okay, but let me just press on this a little bit more. Ve'ema l'tame sekelim. Maybe what the Torah is telling me is that, look, mashke is metame something else other than ochel. I got an idea. How about mashke being metame a kli? Which I know, we just spent yesterday's daf in the beginning of this daf walking away from that position. But at least in terms of darshing the pasuk, isn't that at least an option? So the Gemara says, no, it's not an option. V'lav kav v'chomer hu, u'ma kli she'metame mashke e'metame kli. Look, a kli is metame mashke. You know that a kli is not metame another kli. Meaning, what is metame kli? Again, we keep saying this, but the more we say it, the more we're going to hear it, and the more we're going to process it. The only thing that's metame kli is an avatuma. A kli itself is not an avatuma. A kli is only a derivative. A kli becomes tame from an avatuma. But a kli is not matame another kli. So if a kli cannot be matame another kli, and a mashka is only derived, it's tuma from a kli. So now mashkin, haba machmas kli, you know, din shloit mosa kelim. So if a kli cannot be matame another kli, so here we have now a really simple kavachomer. If a kli cannot be matame a kli, so a mashka that only derived its tuma from a kli certainly cannot be matame another kli. So it is just simply an untenable position to maintain that a mashka can be matame a kli. Logic would dictate that simply does not work. That's called a kavachomer. Ve'em echi lo mitame mashka nabai machmas kli, ava mashka nabai machmas sheretz, hachinami de mitame. So Gemara says, great. But why don't we say the following? Look, the Kal V'chomer tells me that Mashke, that got its tumah from a Kli, cannot be Matame another Kli. I get it. If a Kli cannot be Matame another Kli, a Mashke which derives its tumah from the Kli certainly cannot be Matame another Kli. That logic is flawless. But how about this? How about if the Mashke receives its tumah directly from an Avatumah? Maybe that Mashke can be Matame Kli. So the Gemara says, Mashke by Machmasheret Miksiva. So the Gemara says, no. And I'll tell you why that's also not going to work. Because the idea that a sheretz is metame a mashke, is that written in the Torah? Now the answer is no. No. If you would have asked me, right, if you would have asked me the question before today's daf and before preparing for today's daf, so I myself wouldn't have been so sure about it. But upon further review, and after having gone through the psukim, so the Gemara is absolutely right. And I didn't discover that, meaning I'm late to this game. But there is no pasuk that specifically talks about a sheretz being metame a mashke. But v'lav mekav v'chomer ka'ase. So how do I know that a sheretz is metame mashke? Meaning, if I have a direct contact between a sheretz and mashke, it becomes tame. So it's very simple, because we just got done pointing out, illustrating what exactly was the case of the Torah. The case of the Torah is that the sheretz is in a kli cheretz. It got into the airspace of the kli cheretz, which means that the sheretz is metame the kli, and the kli is in turn being metame the mashke. Good. That's the Torah scenario. So v'la mekav v'chomer ka'asi, ma mashke nabai machmas kli metame, mashke nabai machmas sheretz lo kol shekein. So now, that's exactly the point. The Gemara just illustrated what we pointed out, that that a sheretz is metame kli, which is in turn metame mashke. So if I have direct contact between sheretz and mashke, so for sure the mashke now is going to become tame. Good. So the Gemara says, so why don't we suggest now that the mashke that becomes tame through the kli, so that's not going to be metame another kli. But if the mashke came into contact directly from the sheretz, maybe that mashke will be metame kli. But the Gemara says, no, we can't say that. Why? Because da yelavo min adin lios kenadon. Because here's a basic rule as it relates to kavachomers, and that is that the halacha that we end up with cannot be any greater than the source itself. Meaning, when I have a kavachomer here, what's my kavachomer? I have mashke that received its tuma from a kli, which received its tuma from a sheretz. That's the Torah. Now the kavachomer tells us, well, if I have a direct contact from sheretz to mashke, that also is going to become tame. Logic would dictate that. If the concluding halacha cannot be any greater than where we're getting from, than the source of where we got it from. The source of where we got it from, a mashke becoming tame from a kli, which in turn came tame from a sheretz, that can't be metame a kli. So the mashke that comes directly from a sheretz, that also can't metame a kli. This is the concept of dayo, that the concluding halacha cannot be any stronger than where we derived from, where from its source. Even though we use the logical argument, and even though the Kal Vachomer would seem to indicate that, look, if it applies over here, it certainly applies over here. So even though it may come out to seem stronger in terms of the concluding halacha, but Dayo tells me that no, it can't be any stronger than the source halacha. So if in the source halacha, the halacha only has a particular limit, so that's going to be true in terms of the concluding halacha as well. Okay, so with all that stated, so Mashke is not Metame Kli, that is off the table. Once that's off the table, so now, Mashke is not Metame Ochel, sorry, let me say it correctly. Mashke is not Metame another Mashke, Mashke is not Metame another Kli, so what is Mashke going to be Metame? It's going to be Metame and Ochel. Okay, so that is all Rav Yossi's conclusion regarding what a mashke is metame. So again, just to quickly recap, that means that Rav Yossi now says that a mashke is in fact metame. Rav Yossi in the Brice on Tevzayin Amud Aleph, and our Gemara says, and how did he derive that halacha? He derived that halacha based on a maneuver of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, as we're going to be learning in tomorrow's daf, says that a sheni is metame, a shlishi even by chulin, based on the fact that the Torah says the word yitma. Yitma, says Rabbi Akiva, does not just simply mean that it becomes tame in terms of reception, but on top of that, it's also going to transmit tuma. So Rabbi Yossi says that if you look at the psukim regarding mashke, so we're going to say the same thing regarding a mashke. Again, whether Rabbi Yossi agrees with Rabbi Akiva, tomorrow's daf. But at least today, Rabbi Yossi now derives this halacha that a mashke is going to be metame something else. Why? Because the Torah uses the word yitma, and he uses his Rebbe's maneuver. And what it's going to be metame? So based on a series of arguments that we just made, and a series of drushas that we just saw, so a mashke is going to be metame ochel. Good. Yitma dereisha hechidarish. So the Gemara says, okay, now, it says yitma regarding mashke, and we just concluded that according to Rav Yossi, that means that the mashke is going to be metame ochel. What about when the Torah says yitma regarding ochel? What does that mean? Yitma dereisha hechidarish. How is he going to darshan it? Who's the he over here? So Rashi says that we're talking about Rabbi Kiva. So mikol ochel asher yechel asher yavol av maim yitma. Yitma l'tames ha-mashkin. So the Gemara says that what Rabbi Kiva is going to do is that he's going to understand it to mean that it's going to be metame mashkin. Ata omer l'tames ha-mashkin o'eno l'tames ha-kli. So once again now, a discussion regarding what an ochel is going to be metame. So it's going to be metame mashke. The Gemara suggests for a moment, why not say it's going to be metame kli? So amart kavachomer. The Gemara says, no, ma mashke shemetame ochel ain't a metame kli. Look, a mashke, which is a metame ochel, is not going to be metame kli. Ochel she'ein metame ochel, an ochel which is not going to be able to be metame ochel, ain't a din shlo itma kli. So for sure should not be metame kli. In other words, the Gemara is using over here a kal vachomer. So ha mani mekayim yitma l'tames hamashkin shein alulin l'kabel tuma. So therefore, what's an ochel going to be metame? Meaning, we know an ochel is going to be metame something because the Torah says the word yitma. So we know that's going to be metame something. So we're running out of options. It's not metame kli because we have a kal vachomer. It's not metame another ochel because like items do not metame one another. Enochel is not metame enochel. Therefore, what are we left with? Enochel is being metame mashke. So, and you know why it's metame mashke? Because mashkes are really sensitive to tuma. Alul and lekabel tuma. They have a high sensitivity to tuma. Now the Gemara says that's funny. So my irya mashke mishum dalun lekabel tuma tepekle mishum deleke midya achrina. You know, when you're taking a multiple choice test. And you rule out, and there are three options, and you rule out two of the options, so you know why I'm going to choose the third option, because there's no other option. So over here, aside from the fact that it's the right answer, but there's simply no other options. So over here, the question begs, what is ochel going to be metame? So here's what it can't be metame. It can't be metame kli, because kal vachomer. It can't be metame an ochel, because ain ochel metame ochel. Right? It's just, that's not how tuma operates. So now, what are we left with? We're left with mashke. Mashke is the only option left. And then, it's funny, the Gemara says, and you know why it's metame mashke? Because mashke is so sensitive. It has such a high sensitivity to tuma. So the Gemara says, that's just simply unnecessary. So the Gemara says, hachi kamar. The Gemara says, well, I'll tell you why it's necessary. V'chitem ochel chamor de metame mashken nitme lekli. Maybe you'll say that ochel should be more chamor, so it's metame mashke, so therefore it should be metame kli. So then, in other words, the Gemara now is suggesting that, look, maybe we can make the argument that Ochel actually has this strength in that it's Metame Mashke, and therefore maybe we can argue it's also going to be Metame Akli. So Auchomer Damashkin Hu Mishum Damashkin Alulun Kabal Tumah. So the Gemara says, no, we're not going to say that, because the fact that it's Metame Mashke, that is that doesn't show the strength of Ochel. It happens to be that Mashke just has such a high sensitivity to Tumah. So Mahi Alulun Lashem Mekablan Tumah Shalob Behechsher. And the Gemara says, and this is a repeated point of the Gemara in our sugya, but it's okay. Repetition is the mother of learning. So the Gemara says that the reason why Mashkin are so sensitive to Tumah is because Mashkin do not require Hechsher. Meaning when it comes to a food becomes impervious to Tumah even after it's detached from the ground until it comes into contact with a liquid. Then it is Mukhshar L'Kabal Tumah, then it's going to become Tameh. But when it comes to a liquid, so the funny part of a liquid as a receiver of Tumah is that it doesn't need Hechsher. The liquid doesn't need to come into contact with a liquid, right? I made this point before, but let's just say it again, right? The which liquids are Mukhshar L'Kabal Tumah, that's clear. There's seven liquids that are Mukhshar L'Kabal Tumah. Which liquids are eligible to becoming Tameh? So the Rambam writes that it's the same seven liquids. Meaning the seven liquids that are Mukhshar L'Kabal Tumah are the same seven liquids that are eligible to becoming Tameh. That's the Shitas of Rambam. The Ravid over there says, sorry, I'm not giving a Mar Malkum. The Ravid over there says, no, those are two different halachas. The halachas of what is a Mukhshar, that's the seven liquids. That good. But the halachas of what is which liquids are mekabel tumah? That's any mashke, not just liquid, not just limited to the seven mashke. Anyway, okay. So that's what makes liquid so sensitive to tumah. So again, so what comes out now is that ochel is metame what? So it's not metame another ochel. It's not going to be metame kli. The only thing it's going to be metame is a mashke. Fine. Yitma deino se kayotze bo mehacha nafka, mehasam nafka. Now, the idea that, eino ose kayotze bo. The idea that an ochel is not metame an ochel. The idea that a mashke is not metame a mashke, where do we get it from? So the Gemara had a drasha. The Gemara says, we have another drasha. The pasuk says, v'chi, yutan mayim al zera, v'nafam nivlasam alam, tame hu. So hu tame veino se tuma kayotze bo. So so we seemingly have a second drasha that tells me that when a mashke becomes tameh, it cannot be metameh another mashke, but rather the only thing it could be metameh is only an ochel. So the Gemara says, chad b'mashke nabai machmas eretz v'chad b'mashke nabai machmas kli. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why I have two drashas to make seemingly the same point, because there's two types of mashkes. We talked about this earlier this morning, and we get to now say the same idea, but apply it here in this context. Mashke that becomes tame directly from a sheretz, mashke that becomes tame from a kli that became tame through a sheretz. Right? The former, not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. The latter, explicitly mentioned in the Torah. Utzricha. Look, mashke that becomes tame through a kli, so it's not chamor, it's not as chamor. Consider, the sheretz is metame the kli is a rishon. The Rishon Kli now is Metame, the liquid inside of it, that's a Sheni. But if I have the Mashke that comes directly into contact with the Sheretz, so that Mashke is a Rishon. So maybe the argument over there could be that Mashke could be Metame another Mashke. So V'lish Me'ina Mashke Nabai Machmas Sheretz V'Kol Shekein Mashke Nabai Machmas Kli. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you this though, in other words, so if I have now the idea that a mashke that comes directly into contact with a sheretz, so that's not metame another mashke. Once we've established that basically your mashke rishon is not going to be metame a mashke, so certainly a mashke sheni is not going to be metame a mashke as well. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's true. Mustadasi bekavachom etarch because of lekra. So yeah, that's true. Sometimes we find that even though I could have derived something from a kavachomer, the Torah is going to go out of its way and write it out, and not leave it to a kavachomer for us to have that position, but actually state so explicitly. There are advantages to the Torah saying something explicitly, and not just leaving it for a kavachomer, even though the kavachomer is just as much as a daraisa as the pasuk writing it out. But ain onshim min adin, ain mazir min adin. If you understood that, great. Anyway, but there are advantages. Okay, we're going to stop here. Let's quickly recap. Let's review. We can break up today's daf into basically two parts. Part number one of today's daf, Rav Yehuda's retraction. Rav Yehuda, who on Tezayin Amud Aleph, the Braisa said that Rav Yehuda says that Mashka is Matamei Kli, so we know this for sure. Rav Yehuda retracted from that position that Mashka is not Matamei Kli. How about a Mashka being Matamei anything, meaning Ochlin? So did Rav Yehuda retract from that position? Unclear. We do have a mission on Parah, which the Gemara quoted on the bottom of Yedzayin Amud Beis, and taking us to the top of today's daf, where the Mishnah Parah has the Rabbi Yehuda Shita that when the cow drinks the mechatas, right? The stam, a regular cow, not the paraduma. When the cow drinks the mechatas, and now you shech the cow, and the mechatas is found within its track, so Rabbi Yehuda says, batlu b'me'eha, becomes batal. And presumably what he meant by that is that it's nothing. It's not even a mashka. It's not going to be a matame at all. So it sounds like what we have over there is a full retraction. The Gemara has two ways to deal with it. But the second way the Gemara dealt with it, and Rav Ashi's way of dealing with it, is once the mashka goes into the GI tract of the cow, it becomes a perfectly undrinkable drink. And so therefore, the reason why it's not going to be a mashka at all is just simply because it just lost its status altogether as any kind of beverage. Okay. That's part one of today's daf, Rav Yehuda's retraction. Part two of today's daf is the shitas of Rav Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, who say that a mashke is in fact going to be metame and ochel. That's what we saw back in the Brice on Tezayim and Aleph, and the Gemara gives us the sourcing of that halacha. So how does Rav Yossi arrive at that conclusion that a mashke is metame and ochel? That's the second half of today's daf, right? It's basically one very long sentence that took us to where we got to right now. That according to Rav Yossi, a mashke is metame and ochel. Just in terms of summarizing, so Rav Yossi learned the drasha based on the way his Rebbe, Rebbe Kiva darshan. Rebbe Kiva has a drasha regarding a sheni being metame a shlishi. We're gonna revisit that drasha in tomorrow's daf. That is shitas Rebbe Kiva. We don't possibly like Rebbe Kiva, but anyway, based on the fact that the Torah says the word yitma, where Rebbe Kiva understands that yitma means two things. It means it receives tuma, and then yitame is also going to transmit tuma. That shitas Rebbe Kiva. Where Rabbi Yossi now is going to do is going to take that formula and plug it into the psukim regarding mashke. So the psukim regarding mashke, so Rabbi Yossi is now going to darshan that the mashke is going to not only become tame, but also yitame, it's going to be metame. What is it going to be metame? So it's going to be metame ochlin. How do we arrive at that? That's hard to summarize in a sentence. But that is the balance of today's daf. That the mashkin, according to Rav Yossi, has the ability to be metame, and what it's going to be metame is ochel, not a kli, and not mashke. Adkan. We stop here.